The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to Hour 2. We have Vostradamus in the studio. Vostradamus, I got a letter from a woman, let's call her Debbie, because her real name is actually Debbie.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
She writes, Eric, a question for you. How do we respond to people when they bring up doing things for the greater good? Some background for you. I was telling a coworker about my cousin and his wife who live in New York State, and they went to Idaho for a visit with relatives. This was about a year ago when the quarantines were at their height. When they returned to New York State, they had to quarantine for 2 weeks. Fine, they were prepared to do so, but they were not prepared. What they were not prepared for was the tracker who called them every day to make sure they had not left the house. But the real issue is the tracker told them that they should sleep in different rooms and use different bathrooms if this was possible. Needless to say, they and I were shocked to have a tracker telling people what they can and can't do in their own house. Such irrational dictates. So I told this to a coworker, thinking she would be shocked as I was. But she said, well, if it's for the greater good, I don't have a problem with it. Kill all the Jews. Actually, she didn't say that, but it was implied. She leans to the left, so I shouldn't be surprised, but I didn't know quite how to respond. The perception is if you don't pursue the greater good, you're being selfish and unchristlike. Can you please help? Maybe discuss a new radio program. Okay, I wanted to answer this. I'll say what I think, and then I want to hear what you think. I'm amazed that Americans would be foolish enough to give anybody their information. When I got off the plane, every time I landed in New York and some people said, sir, we need you to – I said, I'll do it later. Thank you. I walked away. At some point, they came up to me and said, well, sir, you know, you could – I said, do you have any authority to make me do this? Well, no, sir, but I said, goodbye. The idea that you just kind of go along with what people are telling you, fill out forms, put in your email and your phone number and stuff like that, it's none of your business. I'm a free American. How dare you even approach me? That's number one. Number two, let's say you did give them the number and they call you at home like they have some right to talk to you or to it. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get an email you don't want, a phone call, hang up. You don't have to say, let's go, Brandon, before you hang up. But you don't need to listen to these people. You don't need to give them your precious time. Your time belongs to you and God. The idea that Americans would be like, okay, tracker, this is the third time you're calling me. Well, yeah, we're still in the house. I mean, if the devil calls you up, are you going to give him the time of day? The idea that Americans would comply, as I read this, is the most shocking. You think people have the right to call you at home, to tell you, I mean, if you want advice, okay, they're giving advice. Maybe sleep in different bedrooms. Maybe they're trying to be helpful. But this is our call. The idea that these people filled out the forms, that they quarantined, which is alone ridiculous probably, but then some government person called them every day. Folks, I'm astonished that Americans don't push back harder. And I'm telling you, if somebody bugs you, you get a text from the government, you get a robocall from your mayor, what, hang up, do anything you can to block those calls. It's unacceptable. I've already spoken too long. Thoughts, Vostradamus,
no,
what do you
think,
have to think?
I think you're exactly right. So let me tell you our personal story. So the McCulloughs got COVID in February of 2021.
Didn't you all die?
Yeah, and came back. So we got it. We were fairly certain we had it, but after a couple of days of no taste buds, I sent the lovely bride to get tested. She tested positive. We came back, quarantined, did what we could, but we still had to deal with kids and make life go forward. Fortunately, I have a studio in my house. I never missed a day of my show or anything else. But a couple of days later, there was a tracker that called, and we typically don't pick up our home phone anyway because we mostly use our cells for everything that we do, and we always put the home phone on the other stuff. But it was amazing. The next two or three days, we got calls about the same time every day. We never responded to it. And I said, and my wife asked me, she said, do you think we're doing the right thing? And I said, absolutely. I said, there's no reason why we are compelled to do this. It's not like we're going out and breathing in people's faces and saying, here, catch some droplets. We were being responsible and good stewards. And I think for the believer, you've got to walk a careful line. You can't be, I don't care about you. I can't be the one that mocks the people wearing the face mask in the public place because that person might be immunocompromised. There might be a threat
That's
to their
right.
life. So
okay.
I have to be, you know, the weaker brother issue plus,
good.
Plus my own stewardship of my life. These are the two principles that are in conflict here. But so fast forward, we have the COVID antibodies. We're not planning on getting vaccinated. And as we're finding studies even this week where they're more potent and stronger and lasting longer than the vaccine anyway. But I live in the New York City area. In September, after 18 months of having no public events, literally for a year and a half, we suddenly had 9 on the calendar for the beginning of the fall. Most of them were going to be vaccine-only admitted. I talked to Dr. Siegel from Fox News. I talked to my own physician. I talked to Dr. Sapphire. I talked to Dr. Zelenko. I said, they're saying that we need to be vaccinated. I want to show an antibody test that shows that we have the antibodies. What do we do? And they said, well, there's no way that the antibody thing is available right now. So that's to do something in September, that's not going to work. Dr. Siegel said, first dose of Pfizer is probably not going to hurt your natural immunity anyway. Get the single jab. Get the card. Now you're ready to do what you need to do. But I wouldn't go a step further than that. So we did go and get the single jab. 2 weeks later, the place that we got the vaccines calling us up. When you coming in for the second shot? And I said, we have no need to. We have antibodies. We have natural immunity. And we have the vaccine in us. We are set to go. But I'm not playing this game any further with you going down the road. And if I didn't have to do it for my work and for my responsibilities beyond my household, because again, stewardship, freedom, other people's well-being, I wouldn't be doing it now. I wouldn't have taken the jab to begin with. But at the end of the day, what you're telling this listener is exactly right. Think about your position. Think about where you're at. If you in any way feel uncomfortable revealing that information, don't by any means do it. They can't make you, and until they do, and so my bride gets very, very nervous about this. She goes, well, what if they continue to ask for more and more and more? I said, they're going to. That's the game. That's the game plan. Here's what we do. We do what is necessary for our stewardship at this time, but trust me, the American people have not spoken on this yet. There's going to be litigation up the wazoo and back. I happen to have the opportunity to interface with Arthur Idala, a criminal lawyer here in New York, well-known across the country, very high profile, on a weekly basis. He says to me last week in a private conversation, you know, they're firing the healthcare workers in New York that didn't get vaccinated. They're firing the judiciary workers that didn't get vaccinated. An associate-level judge, the highest court in New York, just had got locked out of her office this week because she's not vaccinated. Public responders, police officers, firemen, the line is starting to form out the door. These lawsuits are going to come. These municipalities and state governments are going to have to pay because this is not going to be tolerated. They're getting to do some of this now.
Yeah.
But long term, I think the American people are going to say, that's it.
Well, and I want to say, if you get this vaccine, now, John Zmirak, he's coming up in the next hour in a couple of minutes. He says he won't get the vaccine because all three versions of it, even in the testing, used aborted children, okay? So on a moral issue, he's not getting it. Now, let's say he says, oh, but I want to eat at my stupid restaurant, so I will let them introduce experimental RNA into my body. We don't know what the future is. So he gets that. And let's say he gets a blood clot and dies. Because you keep hearing these anecdotal stories over and over and over. I've had doctors on here talking about that.
Right.
Who do you sue? Where do you go? Who is gonna take the responsibility for your health if you're one of those people that has dramatic adverse effects? They're not talking about this. When we took the polio vaccines in the past, there was testing. Polio was infinitely more serious than COVID.
Let me touch this on 2 points.
Yeah, we only have 20 seconds. Sorry, go.
Well, first of all, we've given 350 million doses out. We know a lot more about it than we did when it was introduced. Secondly, the recourse is not going to go away. We are going, and this is number one overall things. You and your physician should decide whether or not the vaccine is right
except
for you.
I don't trust my physician.
Well, then if you don't trust your doctor, you got problems. But it shouldn't be the pharmacist at CVS. Well, it should be you and your doctor that's making that decision.
All right. My friend, God bless you. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Well, it's always a happy part of my week when I get to talk to our friend John Zmirek. John Zmirek, welcome to the program.
Hey, Eric. Always a pleasure to talk to you, no matter how grim the subjects we're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, exactly. What is on your mind? What are some of the things that, you know, today is Wednesday. We're in the middle of another strange week. What are you thinking?
Well, we just learned that the FBI is going to investigate parents who go to school board meetings to question what the teachers are instilling into their children.
Yes, that's mind-bending. Is it not mind-bending? I mean, this is one of these things that I guess I took for granted, that everybody in America knows that the government has no business getting between parents and their kids. Never, unless there is violence, horrible violence. How dare they imply that parents shouldn't know? I mean, look. In loco parentis, we have schools, public schools, because we can't teach our kids in many cases. So we say we're going to hire people to teach kids. How did the government take this over and try to shove the parents out of the way? This is completely un-American. It's completely wrong. And I want every American to know this is utterly unacceptable. Don't ever let school boards or governments push you around when it comes to your kids.
As it is right now, the FBI is the enemy. Okay, the fact that the FBI and the Department of Justice can be used to exert pressure on individual citizens trying to get involved in local politics, and that's what school boards are, the most local, organic, natural form of politics. The healthiest thing in the world is for people to be involved in the decisions of what happens on their local government, including local schools. With that said, public schools were always a terrible idea. The public schools were created in the late 19th century by progressives like Horace Mann, who explicitly said they wanted to teach children to be less conservative, less religious than their parents.
I didn't know that. That's why we have you on the program, because you teach us things. No kidding, John. When I think of the one-room schoolhouse in the 19th century, I think of a time before the progressives. I think of the McGuffey reader. I think of parents hiring
a teacher. But
those
were church schools. Those were church schools. Those weren't public. The public school system was created by progressive experts who were at best social gospel Christians. And they wanted to teach the children of fundamentalists and other Bible believers and Catholic immigrants to be good liberal Protestants like themselves. My ancestors, we set up a whole Catholic school system because we didn't want anything to do with that. Nevertheless, in a lot of good places, local places, local control school boards kept schools relatively okay. They got more and more secular, but they only recently started to go completely insane, where they're teaching kids to want to change their gender. Now in California, school teachers can identify a kid who seems troubled, maybe autistic, maybe on the spectrum, send them to the school counselor, and that kid can start undergoing gender reassignment without the parent's knowledge. Gavin Newsom just signed a bill. Kids can change their sex, and the teachers and the school can conspire in that without even notifying the parents. The view of the left, they don't have children, okay, or they have one or two. They don't have enough kids to maintain a society. They want to parasitically scoop ours up and turn them into little copies of themselves. So they're going to let us do the sweaty work of actually reproducing the kids and giving birth to them. But after that, they're going to raise them and they're going to instruct them as they see fit for the sake of the kind of government and society that they want. It's a lot like Plato's Republic, but of course, Plato was kidding, or Plato was doing a thought experiment when he said that the state should take all children away and raise them as it saw fit. That's what these people are doing now. They see parents as temporary custodians of children who belong to the state. That's a totalitarian idea. That's what Nazi Germany and Soviet Russia believes. That's what Communist China believes now, and is clearly what the Biden regime believes as well. And I've got a piece at stream.org talking about the totalitarianism of the system that is cementing itself in place all around us.
I just want to ask, presumably the FBI have all kinds of crimes to solve. How is it that they have the energy, the manpower, the budget to be doing things like this? Who do you suppose is directing them to do these things?
Eric, your mother is from East Germany, right?
Yeah.
Do you think the Stasi let the existence of some rapists and some criminals and some smugglers get in the way of monitoring the political opposition?
Well, John, look, we know that we're not yet at that level. But my question is, who is directing this kind of politicization of the Federal Bureau of Investigation? Who do you suppose is behind this? What can we do about this?
Well, we're actually getting there, Eric. We're actually getting to a kind of Stasi situation. It's Mark Judge, our friend, who was targeted as part of the attempt to destroy Brett Kavanaugh with the perjury of Christine Blasey Ford and the public lies of Michael Avenatti and Julie Swetnick. He is the one who started talking about the American Stasi. When you see the FBI send informers in Michigan to try to recruit people for a plot to kidnap Governor Whitmer, and it was the FBI's idea, it's now clear the FBI agents were the ones who suggested kidnapping Whitmer, and then they went out and recruited people for that plan. When the FBI, in fact, a majority of the people involved in that plot were FBI informants. A majority, 60% so far, according to Revolver News. And BuzzFeed echoed the coverage, and the New York Times has even been forced to cover it. The January 6th protesters, the leading ones who are accused of violence, are not being charged because it turns out they were FBI instigators. So when you remember Peter Strzok smirking on TV as he basically just said, tough noogies, when people pointed out that the whole Russia collusion thing was a lie, that Mike Flynn was framed and destroyed. No, we are there, Eric. We are there. The FBI is now the enemy of the people, and no one should cooperate with it. If you ever are asked to talk to the FBI, you should repeat the one word to them over and over and over again. Lawyer, 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 lawyer. Do not talk to the FBI. Do not assist them in any way. Assume they are working for Joe Biden or the secret committee formerly known as Joe Biden. Who is really running the country? Who is on that secret committee? I think we know their names. And I wrote a bit about this at stream.org, how the deep state lied Joe Biden into office. Look, men like John Brennan, Clapper, all the people who signed that letter claiming that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation in order to help him clinch the election. It's like 60 names. Almost half of them were Republicans appointed by the wonderful Bush family, the royal family Bush, who gave us all these useless teats on bulls like Bill Barr. These established Republicans, establishment Democrats of the deep state seem to be the people really running the country. And right now, they're using the FBI to investigate parents who question communist ideology being taught to their children that encourages racial hatred under the rubric of critical race theory.
Do you think
can't go oppose Marxism at your school board meeting or the secret police will investigate you. Are you sure we're not in East Germany?
Well, look, it sounds like everything's going crazy because it is going crazy. The question, John, is other than read your piece at thestream.org, which I hope everyone does and prints it out and shares it with their friends, what do you think we can do? In other words, where are we now? Do you think that Trump would have the ability when he gets back in to deal with this? It strikes me as, you know, as it strikes me as unprecedented is a mild word for where we are in America.
The only reason to bother putting Trump back in office is if he's going to clean out the deep state, which he didn't do for 4 years. The moment he dodged the bullet of Russia collusion, he got right back on the horse. And that was a terrible mistake. I think and I hope and I pray Trump learned his lesson. I'm encouraged that our friend Steve Bannon is organizing former Republican appointees to try to prepare a bench of reliable MAGA people whom Trump could appoint instead of just picking old Bush family cronies. Picking people from the deep state who play at the same golf courses and eat at the same cafes and have basically the same ideas as the Democrats. We are ruled right now in America by an oligarchy. There's a great political thinker who passed away just 2 weeks ago, Angelo Codevilla. He was such a fascinating thinker. Rush Limbaugh read one of his books and actually contributed an introduction to his next book. He was Rush Limbaugh's favorite political thinker.
When we come back, say the name again.
Angelo Codevilla.
Codevilla, when we come back, we're going to let you spell that without me interrupting. Don't go away, folks.
Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen. Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204.
Folks, I'm talking to John Zmirak. Go to stream.org. Check out what he writes. He spells his name Z-M-I-R-A-K. I also spell his name Z-M-I-R-A-K. So, John, you mentioned Steve Bannon. I read that that he's doing this. In other words, I think there's some people who understand where we are and what we have to do. Then there are people like, I don't know, Andrew McCarthy at the National Review. I think you tweeted something. He said something positive about Merrick Garland. Was that what you were referring to on Twitter?
No, I didn't even know that. But thank you for giving me that new piece of despair.
Yeah.
Basically, anyone who writes a National Review, just cross them off your list. That right there. Anybody who was on board with the Stasi line that January 6th was an attempted coup, that January 6th was the worst thing that's ever happened in the history of our republic. The same people who sat on their hands while the Democrats were burning down half the cities of America. When Republicans show up for a mostly peaceful protest at January 6th, they're fine with those people being put in solitary confinement for 9 months with a half an hour a week with their access to their attorneys, being charged on secret evidence that the government won't share with their defense attorneys. Anybody who's on board with what happened to the January 6th protesters, anybody who condemns January 6th as anything more than a rally that got a little out of hand, is our enemy and works for the deep state and should be treated the way we treat Al Sharpton or Adam Schiff. Seriously, pick a side. Pick a side. You're on the side of the FBI or you're on the side of America.
It's dramatic. It's very dramatic. I don't even know who the head of the FBI.
I was recommending a book.
What's that?
I was recommending a book.
Yeah, spell the name of the person that you mentioned.
Angelo Codevilla, Codevilla. And the book is called The Ruling Class. Has a foreword by Rush Limbaugh. And in it, Angelo Codevilla, who used to be a very high-level intelligence expert for the U.S. government, serious conservative. He was killed in a drunk driving by a drunk driver just a week and a half ago, shortly before I was supposed to interview him for the stream, and it really breaks my heart. His book, The Ruling Class, which Rush Limbaugh liked so much, he did a new edition with an intro by Rush. It describes how our elites, whether they call themselves a Republican or Democrat, work in synergy to hold power in the hands of the few in Washington, D.C., New York City, Silicon Valley, Hollywood, a few other places. They are a very small tick riding and controlling an elephant, which is America. These are the same people who are imposing on us right now vaccine mandates and what I call a public health dictatorship. And the column I want to point people to at stream.org that I wrote is called "I Oppose Public Health and You Should Too."
Well, public health, I mean, it means trusting people other than your own doctors. And I don't,
it means trusting the government. Trusting,
well, that's what I mean. It's preposterous. We already have something like socialist health care. When you think of what has happened to hospitals, who seem to be in a for-profit model than a healing people model, when you think of insurance companies that, because of lawyers, are telling doctors what they can and cannot do, the whole thing is already broken down. I guess
we're moving to a national socialist healthcare system, and I make the Nazi comparison advisedly. Adolf Hitler came to power as a public health dictator. His deepest belief was that he was there to help the biological thriving of the German people, and that anyone who posed what he considered a threat to the German people's biological survival must be isolated, sterilized, or destroyed. That is how the left and the government and the health establishment are talking about people like you and me who don't want to take a vaccine tested on aborted babies. They're treating us like we are bacilli. We are viruses who need to be isolated, punished, and maybe destroyed. Look what's happening in Australia. They just announced in Australia, the government official, that no one who doesn't get the vaccine will be allowed to work or to travel, or to go to public places.
Okay, John, answer this for me, if you can. Why? In other words, it's one thing for people in power to want to use their power and just to be generally wicked and anti-freedom. The question is, why the vaccine? In other words, there are all kinds of terrible things they could do, which might make sense. In other words, if they say, we want to teach Marxism in schools, I get it. They believe in Marxism. Why the vaccine? I mean, the vaccine, more and more and more, seems like a bad idea, either because it doesn't do much or because the risks outweigh taking it dramatically. You know, it's like playing Russian roulette. Why are people pushing the vaccine, whether in Australia or in the U.S.?
Well, first of all, they've already bet their reputations on it. And if they back down now, they're discredited. Secondly, it gives them a tool to track us. If the government can demand whether or not you've had a vaccine, it can demand to know whether or not you smoke, whether or not you exercise. It can demand to know how much fat you're eating. This is a huge wedge of government power coming into every single human being's life. Medical information is supposed to be private. I can't even find out if what at my job if one of my colleagues has COVID because of medical privacy. It's supposed to be sacrosanct. And yet a restaurant owner is told by the government he has to demand to know whether or not I have been vaccinated.
We're going to be right back, folks. I'm talking to John Zmirak. You should read everything he writes at thestream.org. Folks, I'm talking to our friend John Zmirak. John, I have to ask you again. In other words, I understand why a lot of this stuff is happening. But what I don't understand is who is behind wanting to use the vaccine to kind of corral people, to track them, to reduce their freedoms. Who is behind this? In other words, I can understand why a governor who is persuaded that this is the best thing for the people of my state, so I'm going to be a jerk because I believe in this. But ideologically, who is behind this idea? Because that's never been clear to me.
Right. Okay. Our elite, the oligarchy, the people who live in like a half dozen zip codes but have more than half of the wealth in America, the people who want cheap labor and open borders, the people who consider Trump voters to be quasi-human. These elites don't think we are qualified to run our own lives. They have been yearning for more power to manage us and engineer us, and they've been looking for different pretexts. They tried climate change. The problem with climate change is that's something that's going to happen to your grandchildren. And Americans are not good at thinking 5 minutes ahead, much less two generations ahead. So climate change is not the ideal tool with which to grab more and more power to micromanage the actions of every American. But if you tell people, you're going to die. You're going to die of this horrible disease. You remember what happened in Italy and in New York? We made sure there was plenty of virus in the nursing homes to kill tens of thousands of people. We made sure you saw it. You're going to die that way. If your neighbor isn't forced to take this vaccine, you're going to die. And since we are more and more becoming functional agnostics, and that's why your book, Is Atheism Dead?, is so important, getting to the root of this. People who aren't sure about the afterlife, people who don't have a strong faith in a redemption by Jesus Christ, people who kind of sort of hope that there's a heaven and are pretty sure they deserve it, these are the kind of people it's easy to frighten, to bully, to intimidate, to whip up into a panic that their neighbor down there, those rednecks who go to church and have a Trump sign, those people are a threat to me. It's very similar to what the Nazis did on how the Jews and the socialists and the union members were all contaminants. They're a threat to the folk. They're a threat to our biological community. We are seeing more and more our elites follow the Nazi playbook. And if you remember the riots last year, with one side, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, allowed to beat people up and the police just letting them go, and anyone who resisted got arrested, that's exactly how the Nazis took power. You let one group of street thugs run riot and you arrest their opponents for defending themselves. More and more we're seeing our enemies, the enemies of the people, the oligarchy that runs America, from the FBI to the school unions to many of the churches, that oligarchy is using the whole totalitarian playbook. East Germany, Nazi Germany, Soviet Russia, Communist China, they are just picking whatever works. They're looking through the toolkit of social control that has been used in the past to terrorize populations, to turn people from independent citizens into obedient little termites, and their model of society is the termite colony.
I know this is right, what you're saying. I guess the question is, do you see a way beyond this? In other words, part of what I keep saying in my talks, I've been traveling around the country, is that a big part of their game plan is to convince us that most people think the way they do, when the reality is that it's just a small group of people who have the megaphones. They generally have the news media, and they are able to act as though all educated people think this way, when the fact of the matter is most Americans know this is baloney. We just don't have the voice that they do. So I think that if we stand firm and keep encouraging each other, eventually we win. But we've got to fight with everything we have.
That's right. Support people like Tucker Carlson, whom they're trying to silence. Support networks like Real America's Voice and One America News and the Epoch Times. I read the Epoch Times. That has been my newspaper of record since the 2020 election, since they were one of the only ones that wasn't lying about the 2020 election. We all now know there was an elite conspiracy to steal the election. They admitted it in Time magazine. They bragged about it. They said they were going to fortify democracy. How? By stuffing ballot boxes, by lying about Hunter Biden, by silencing the truth, by changing the voting rules and ignoring non-matching signatures. They did whatever it took to correct the mistake of 2016. They had spent 4 years punishing Americans for voting wrong, for voting for Donald Trump. They weren't going to let them make that mistake again. These elitists see us as veal calves, and they are the farmer. And if you don't rebel, you don't push back hard and continuously, you're going to end up a dish of scallopini served on the side.
What an ending. Listen, we're not quite done, John. Before we let you go,
So I want to urge people to fortify their belief in an afterlife.
Well, I say this all the time. If you believe in the God who defeated death on the cross, it changes everything. And in a way, I actually believe God is allowing us to go through this hell to wake us up. Choose a side. Do you believe in me? Do you believe I've defeated death? Do you have fearlessness and freedom, or are you still going to hide in the shadows, afraid of your own shadow, afraid of getting some, flu
disease?
Effectively, you're going to have to choose. And I think it's getting worse and worse. And finally, people are choosing.
I mean, if you think about it, what made the Christian church explode in the Roman Empire was the fact that Christians were not willing to burn one little pinch of incense in front of a statue of the emperor.
That's it.
And they were willing to die rather than do that. Now we have millions of Christians, including bishops and my Pope, saying, take this vaccine that was made using aborted babies or tested on aborted babies. Do it. It doesn't matter. Do it. Comply. Obey.
That's it.
So do not comply. Do not obey. Look at what the enemy is most intense about. They're most intense about critical race theory, taking our guns, and making us take the dead baby vaccine. So those are the things you push back on. Those are obviously the things they care about.
We're at the end. John Zmierich, my friend, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Eric. God bless.
Hey, Albin, can you tell that I'm wearing a horsehair wig?
No, it's very, very good.
Thank
Got
goodness.
That glue there. Really.
Well, you know what it is? Yeah. It's very, I invested years ago. My dad said to me, you see that horse?
Yeah.
And, when that horse dies, we're going to get it. But horsehair holds its value.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to an excellent wig maker. And this is, very well fitted. If my head stays the same shape, it's almost like nobody can tell. You can look from any angle. Anyway, that's the most important thing.
Very good.
So let's get to some silly stuff.
Okay.
ADF, religious liberty.
Ooh.
If you have not yet given to the Alliance Defending Freedom, folks, you think I'm going to start harping on this? This is about religious liberty in America. You owe this, okay? This is, they're fighting for you. I don't make stuff up. You've gotten to know me, I hope, if you listen to this program. I don't just say this stuff. They're heroes. They need our help. The government should be giving them money to do what they do. But it's up to us. We the people. We are the government. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. Folks, please, they are defending our religious liberties. I don't know what I can tell you except that if it weren't for them, we would be in big trouble. We're losing the republic if not for folks like this. They are fighting in courts. They do it for free. If you get in trouble, if somebody starts pushing you around, the government starts pushing you around, you can go to them. I have somebody on our staff who's going to ADF over an issue that I can't bring up. It does not involve the horsehair wig. I'm just letting you know it's got nothing to do with that, okay? And I don't want to hear it. Okay, Albin, here's what we're going to do. If somebody gives $2,500 today.
Mm-hmm. Today.
Now, you don't even have to do it that way. You can give $200 a month or maybe, what, $210 a month times 12. If you do that, $2,500, we're going to overnight you tomorrow. As soon as we get the information, we're going to overnight you a signed copy of Is Atheism Dead? No one has this book. No one has this book except very special friends like Albin.
I do.
To whom I gave a copy. Okay,
yep.
So you're going to get a signed copy of this, signed to whoever you want. You give us the name, whatever else. Nobody does that. Nobody can get that to you, particularly now, even before the book's out, okay, as a special gift to you. But if you give $2,500, here's what we'll also do. The first person to do that, because let's say there are two,
mm-hmm.
I have a hat signed by Donald Trump. It's a Make America Great Again hat signed by President Trump. I was there when he signed it. I took it with my little hands in the car, took it home, took care of it, fed it, bathed it.
Aww.
And now I'm going to send it to you, signed by the president, folks.
Yeah.
Okay, if you give $2,500 to ADF, you will get for sure a signed copy of this. Signed to you, whoever you want me to sign it to. Very special. I'll date it so you'll know that you got it two weeks before the launch date. But if you are the first or the only person to do that, you're going to get a hat signed by Donald Trump in my presence. He signed it. I can talk about that another time. All right. I also want to say, folks, would you please pre-order the book? We need. I'm no longer shy about asking for help. We need your help. We were canceled on YouTube. It's tough to get word out. There's stuff in this book that is mind-blowing, if you pre-order it, there's a special link at ericmetaxas.com. I think it's the Baker link, 45% off. I don't know how long that's going to last. You're kind of crazy if you don't take advantage of it.
Yeah.
But please pre-order, wherever you pre-order from, please pre-order the book if possible. Please pre-order copies for Christmas. We need your help.
And I just got to say, I'm pre-reading the
book. And you're
reading
the book.
Yeah, I'm pre-reading it. I love this guy, Charles Tirrett Drake. I'm wearing a Charles Tirrett tie, shirt, and jacket.
Incredible.
I don't think it's the same guy.
That's a different guy.
But he discovered the Hittite Nation, which is an incredible and fascinating story that you have presented.
Okay, it's one
here.
Of the – there's so much in here,
yeah. Oh,
and I've only
goodness.
Talked about kind of the highlights, but that's something that the Hittites – historians who doubted the Bible said the Bible talks about the Hittites. There's zero evidence in the writing in antiquity on monuments. There's no evidence of the Hittites. It's just made up. Well, I write the long version of the story of how people using the Bible discovered, whoopsie daisy, the Hittites not only existed, boy, did they exist. So please pre-order a copy. Is Atheism Dead? Go to MetaxasTalk.com. Give to ADF. Thank you.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.